I think that there's a difference between our expectations of a child and a child's potential. Meaning, the Torah doesn't tell them, you have to do this. The Torah says, little by little, learn, prepare yourself for the time when you'll be obligated. There's a lot of logic to that. He's not held accountable for anything he does until he's 12. There's also, you're looking at a baby and you're forgetting that a baby will eat sand. So it's not a spiritual concept, there's a concept of his understanding. Meaning, a baby looks at sand and says, let me eat that, let's see what that is. So the fact that a baby also doesn't understand that his mother doesn't want to nurse at a certain time, that's also because he doesn't understand anything about the world. Meaning, a baby hears a loud noise, he panics. He thinks, who knows what's about to happen. He doesn't understand the world. So I don't know how much we could learn from a baby. I think we'd have to look more at a five-year-old, at 5 to 12, if we wanted to bring examples. And you do see five-year-olds being very good kids and wanting to do good.
That's from socialization. That's not.
I don't know. I don't think that's internal. That's not the story they tell about. That's the teacher, the Moshe.
I don't know.
In school, my brother, I have two brothers. Like if he's a 3 years when he's now 6, so you could clearly see the one of them, who's very small, he would always share. He would have like his bum up, and he would give it to the other. That was ready. The other one would never do that.
You see natures.
But
that's again, I don't know if you could prove from that. If Chazal didn't tell us, I don't think we'd say what Chazal said about Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov. But that requires a bigger discussion. What is Yetzer Hara? Meaning, if a child has no mitzvot, so what does it mean Yetzer Hara? He's not obligated to do anything. So what's bad by him? If you define Yetzirah that way, then there's nothing wrong. That according to the way you're defining Yetzirah, which I wouldn't define it that way, but with your definition.
I
think that Yetzir means desire, and Ra means bad.
Evil, yeah. But I thought that the connotation to it is simply that it's only evil if it's unaccompanied, and it's only evil if it goes too far. It's only evil if it's not directed in the right place. Like the guy who likes blood, he becomes a butcher.
Right, but then that's not Yetzer Hara. Meaning, when it's misdirected, then it's Yetzer Hara. Meaning, I think Yetzer Hara is specifically the desire to do what's bad. It's not the predisposition to
the evil part is the physical.
I'm not familiar with that understanding. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not familiar with it. Give me one second, because David's been waiting to ask something for a while. So I don't think I completely answered you, but I think I answered you to the best of my ability. I understand parts of the question are left hanging. But I think, to summarize, a child is born, he has certain things within his nature, certain good things, certain bad things. There are things which a child by nature is going to want to do bad, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's not bad at his age. And they remember, a child doesn't have mitzvot. We had a whole class about children's cruelty. It's normal that kids want to kill ants. It's normal that kids want to kill a cat. It's normal that kids want to break things. Normal. Nothing wrong with it. No. You have to know how to guide it. There's nothing wrong with it. Go online. Guys freaked out when I said this. You guys want to do this class? Yeah, we'll do it again. I don't mind. You remember this class? The Gemara says it's normal. It's normal. I'll tell you a story. A week ago, we read about the kosher fish and the non-kosher fish. So I was sitting at the Shabbos table with my kids. And I asked my son, what's a kosher fish? What's fins? What's scales? So he said, it's this, it's that. I could tell you, I had no clue. So I said, okay, we're going to make a trip. We're going to have an outing. We're going to go up to the shuk to buy a fish. So they were all excited. I took the kids. We went to the shuk. We went to the store. In the shuk, you have all these pools with the fish swimming around. I asked them for the cheapest fish. I paid 20 shekel. I got a fish. We came along with a bucket, and I brought home a live fish. So for the first hour, the kids are standing there daring one another. Who's going to touch the fish? But the second hour, they're already poking at the fish. By the third hour, they're already holding the fish up, showing all the neighbors, look at my fish, and the fish is wagging around, flapping all the way around. So someone asked me, wait a second, isn't it cruel? Isn't it not nice to the fish? So I said, look, as far as the fish, if you want to be objective, if I wouldn't have bought it, they would have killed it already. It's not, I mean, objectively, it was Thursday, and in the shuk, they would have killed it. And practically, a child's allowed to have a pet, and you're allowed to get an animal for a kitten. That's normal, and part of what the kid's going to do is it's going to pull it by the ear and pull it by the tail, and it's normal. There's nothing wrong. It's a normal experience for the child. Kids play with ants. Kids cut apart a worm. There's nothing wrong with it. You don't have to encourage it. I didn't buy the fish so that they'd end up torturing it, which they didn't. But the fact that they're playing with the fish, and it might not be the most pleasant thing for the fish, okay, that's... What? Yeah, I'm with you. Oh, and the classical example is psychoasia. What did the Gemara, in times of the Gemara, what toy would they give a child? They'd catch a chicken, cut off its head, and then the child would see it, quack, 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 quack. That was the game. The Gemara rings, that was the game. The kid would watch the chicken run around with that head.
Isn't that just supposed to protect the treat animals as well as possible?
Yes.
So that, to me, making a chicken a toy is the same thing. To me, shows in the forest that forest chicken looks scared.
I agree. I agree.
Okay, so actually, no offense, taking a fish and swabbing around, as far as I'm concerned, is literally cruelty.
I agree. But, so we have to discern between what's cruelty that's permitted and what's not. Meaning, you're a vegetarian. Okay, so you're a vegetarian, but the Torah gives us guidelines as to what is and isn't moral. The Torah says, yeah, there's a hierarchy, and Hashem created these creatures to serve us.
Yeah, to eat, not to
torture.
Yeah.
I agree.
Western liberalism and Judaism, that's the issue. No.
Okay. This is a big topic. I don't know if we should spend the next hour discussing it. No, I'd be happy to discuss it if the rest of the guys want to discuss it. It's an important topic. Okay, so let's go one step at a time.
A dog and a cat are different. They're companions. A fish is not playing the game along with you.
Okay, so let's go step by step. No. I hear what you're saying, Haskell.
My nephew used to be a dog, and my dog used to go running to my sister, and the dog was getting the game. A fish is not understanding. A cat is not in the water.
Okay, I hear you. Let's go step. Okay?
The dog understands it as a game. The dog understands it as this kid is pulling my cat.
Yeah, but he knows I'm not. You're right.
Let's go one step at a time, okay?
If the animal is going to pay him, that's what he is, that's wrong.
Okay, so... The question was raised, or the discussion was raised, as to where do we draw the lines as far as cruelty to animals and as far as tzar balei chayim. We know the Torah gives us a special commandment that we're not allowed to do tzar balei chayim. It's biblically prohibited to cause affliction, to cause pain to animals. At the same time, the Torah says that the animals were created to serve us. We're supposed to take care of them in certain regards. We're responsible for the planet. And in other regards, I mean, they're there to serve us. So before we enter this discussion, because this is a discussion that involves emotional reactions, not only logical ones, so let's introduce the subject with a logical approach before we discuss the details. Right? Let's just lay the groundwork. I'll tell you, maybe I always have a question whether I should go into personal stories or not. I don't know. a person can look at many things in the Torah and say, that seems inhumane to me. And there's nothing wrong with it seeming inhumane to him. We're all entitled to have our opinions. A person could look at something and say, to me, that seems terrible. I was a vegetarian for maybe 10 years when I was a kid. There are 10 or 15 years where I was vegetarian. I couldn't understand how people could eat a creature that was once walking and talking and maybe not talking, but walking and squawking and everything. So I understand where you're coming from. One of the things we have to realize when we're approaching this subject is that there's no kinder being than God. You agree with me on that?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just lay that again. We're working logically so far. So if I think it's unkind, let's say, to shower, I think that we have to treat water more humanely. I shouldn't afflict the water and make it run all over my body. The Torah tells me you're supposed to bathe in honor of Shabbos, and that's okay. If today they do research and they recognize that a plant gives off certain chemicals and a plant seems to indicate pain, there are indicators that they're discovering today that a plant knows, to the extent that if you cut off a branch of a plant and you approach that plant the next day, the plant gives off certain chemicals, so to speak, to protect itself because it's concerned because you've approached the plant. So if I say, well, we shouldn't eat plants because it's not right. I mean, look, you see, there is some kind of recognition there. So the Torah tells me, no, you could eat plants and there's no problem. And you agree with me. So far, again, I want to deal with okay, so 1 second. I'll just finish the sentence and don't really disagree with me. What? I haven't yet mixed. You could say that when I mix. I didn't mix yet. I'm working on an issue which I want to first come to agreement on what we do agree, right? Isn't that a good way to go? Let's first discuss where we agree. So far you're with me, right?
No, I'm not with you all. You cannot compare water to an animal.
I didn't compare, but I didn't compare. I was talking about water and plants. I didn't say anything about animals. Ah, so wait.
Moses was asked to at least.
Oh, he's got a good point.
The rod is going in a good direction.
I'm just working our way from Domim to Tzomeach. I'm working the way of creation. I'm working our way from the earth, its way up. So if a person walks in here and says, I think it's immoral for you to eat plants, we'll say, fine, we can respect you, no problem. We're accommodating people, but our tradition is that we have a Torah, and God told us what's the right attitude in life and what's the wrong attitude. And God said it's okay to eat plants, so it's okay. So far, we're on the same page? You disagree with anything I said so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a leap, 10 steps forward. If a person walks in here and says, I've been analyzing life, and I've come to the conclusion that there's no difference between human and animal. And just like everyone thinks you could eat animals, well, I think you could eat humans. There are subhumans in the world. Come on, look at them. They behave like animals. Go to an insane asylum. They're nuts. They're no different than animals. I think you could eat humans. Why, you guys think you could eat animals? I think you could eat humans. So you disagree with me? So what? It's a free country. I won't eat you. Don't worry about it. But if you ask me what I believe, a guy walks in and says, I believe you could eat animals. I believe you could eat humans. So there we might be less accommodating. We might not tell him, well, sir, we respect you, no problem, we accept your opinion. But if it were just a theoretical debate, we'd tell him, fine, you could say what you believe. The Nazis said that. There are people who said that. We have a Torah, and if it weren't for the Torah, maybe we'd come to the same conclusion as you. Maybe. But God told us what's morally correct and morally incorrect, and that's why we disagree with you, and we'd kill you if you did that. If you'd kill a person just because he's less intelligent, we'd kill you for it. So there are areas where we're in agreement. You agree with me about the earth and the plant, and you agree with me about the humans. So the wait. So let's do one step at a time. And when we're going to discuss abortion, so then maybe we'll also agree, because you're going to say, well, that's life. And I'll ask you, from when? And you'll tell me, what? From when do you consider it life? From when would you prohibit abortion? Because the Torah says from day one. The Torah says from the minute that the sperm hits the egg, even though there are aspects in halacha where we say until 40 days it's considered like water, we don't permit abortions before 40 days. I mean, there are cases where it'll endanger the mother's life, and who knows what? There can be instances where a couple should consult with the rabbi and figure out what to do. But the Torah teaches us that we don't permit abortion. We don't. It's not like a free-for-all. No. The Torah says no. So what's the difference between me and you? Where does the difference lie? How would you quantify it? No. Meaning, we both agree on the, both extremities. Only, what's...
I have a problem with eating a fish. I can claim that
inappropriately is higher. Oh, so wait. Let's go one step at a time.
Uh-huh.
So you agree that eating animals and fish is okay?
Yes.
Why?
Because the Torah lets us. I agree with that. No, I'm being honest with you. I think if the Torah says it's okay, it's okay.
Okay.
I think
so,
it's the edit, and there's no tequila, but I think it's okay.
Okay, so the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, in the end of Kiddushin, that God created all of creation to serve me. I'm a pretty important thing in this world. Me, you, Homo sapiens, human beings, right? God created them to serve us. Now, at the same time that God says they're there to serve you, God says, hey, don't you take advantage of that. You're not allowed to torture them. So when they were making veal by keeping these sheep stored in cage and giving them a horrible diet so that their feet were wobbly and they couldn't walk, and the sheep went through tremendous suffering, so Rabbi Feinstein said we should boycott veal at that time. He said, it's not right. They're giving this animal a poor life of suffering so that you have a softer taste when you eat your meat. That's going beyond the level of what's permitted. There are areas where the halacha says it's beyond, but there are also areas where the halacha says it's permitted. So when we approach these questions, without going into specifics, we have to recognize that there are going to be things that bother us, and that we don't have to do, just because it's permitted doesn't mean we have to do it. And there's even, Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes about the time of Mashiach, and he seems to indicate that there'll be a time when we'll all be vegetarians. He seems to indicate, and there's also this understanding by others, that the whole concept of eating meat is a problem. It's because we're not on the right level. If we were on the right level, then maybe we would be vegetarians. There is a positive outlook towards vegetarianism in Jewish thought. But at the end of the day, it's permitted. So to say that's immoral, well, the Torah doesn't agree with that. So we don't agree that that's immoral. Now when we come to discuss other things, like hunting, so the Noda Behuda writes, you cannot say it's prohibited to go hunting, but it is in disaccordance with the way a Jew should behave. A Jew should not spend his life chasing after animals and torturing them, and a Jewish adult is not supposed to spend his time doing that. To say it's prohibited? No. But to say, is it within the spirit of the Torah? No, it's not within the spirit of the Torah. So what's left that we differ on? What are you supposed to do with kids? Are you supposed to get kids pets? Or do you say, no, the kids are going to hurt the pets? Do you put a goldfish in a tank or not? You know what? Just say that. So, I hear what you're saying, and I think that Chazal felt that... I think, my understanding of Chazal, maybe there are others that disagree, it doesn't say it overtly, but my understanding is that Chazal felt that there are certain concepts that a child can only understand later. And based on their understanding at a specific stage in life, so just like you could use the animal for other things, you could ride on a horse, Chazal said, don't overload the horse. You can't put a load on the horse where the horse is just suffering. That's prohibited. That's a biblical prohibition. That's where it says, Tzar Baalei Chaim. But at the same time, what you do need and what's normal use is okay. So by the same token, I think that there are aspects of... you see that children had pets. You see that they played around with animals. And our sages didn't spend their time distancing their kids from that. We brought the example that if Mr. Goldsmith has gone missing for the last 3 months, and his wife wants to get remarried, and you hear the kids talking about poor Mr. Goldsmith, everyone saw him dead, they saw his head decapitated, you hear the kids talking, so the halacha says we don't use that as testimony. Why? Because the kids might be speaking about their pet worm, who they named Mr. Goldsmith. Kids have a way of naming the different vermin that they find after the names they hear going around town. So just because you hear kids talking, one telling the other, oh, you heard Benji saw Mr. Goldsmith dead, that doesn't mean anything, because they might have named their pet snail Mr. Goldsmith. So you see from different places in Chazal that it was a norm in their time that kids played with pets. And the Chazal didn't, I don't know of a source that Chazal indicated that that was wrong. You feel that you don't want your kids to do that. I think that goes within the realm that there's nothing wrong with you doing what you feel. Okay, but they were playing with the vermin. Yeah, the question is that something I should fight with them over?
Hold on. The way that fishmongers, they take the live fish, put it down alive onto ice. The fish goes like this for 3 or 4 minutes, then its body temperature goes down, it has no oxygen from the water, and it dies. That's how a fish gets to your dinner plate. Is it simply asphyxiates? Or it's no, but the kid didn't do anything different than what the fishmonger
doing. He's a fishmonger. He's doing it. He's playing with the.
Maybe he's gonna grow up and be a fishmonger. These guys who build our streets.
Fishmonger training now.
These guys who build our streets grow up when they're little kids. They have a bucket and they fill the bucket with dirt and they bring the dirt from one place to another. They dig a hole. No, that's how children mature. They do something simple, then they add a level of...
No, it's interesting. No, because I told my wife, it's one of the things I told my wife, what he's saying.
It goes from the 2-year-old fills a bucket with dirt, and then eventually he's paving roads.
Yecheskel, the whole difference between me and you, the whole difference between us, is that you feel that a kid at 5 years old and at 3 years old can understand that.
Yeah.
And I think...
Because little kids can't understand CT stuff, they can't keep poor, they can't understand a lot of mitzvot. But a chinuch is they start the mitzvot when they fully understand it now. So as far as I'm concerned.
Wait, where'd you get that from?
I'm thinking, well, they can understand a certain amount of mitzvot, a lot of things they can't do, and still can.
Why? Who said that? I think the halacha says the exact opposite.
No, you tell the kid to shut up during kiddush.
It's different. That's practical. But the halacha says that when do you buy a kid a talis? When he knows how to keep it clean. When do you buy him tefillin? When he knows how to wear tefillin. When do you buy him lulav and esrog? When he understands what they are.
I'm saying that other things that your kid can understand, you would tell your kid not to do. Okay?
Right, but the...
To me, it's the same thing with...
So,
Treating animals with respect, but not torturing animals.
I think that I agree with you that that's something a child has to be taught, but Chazal also tell us that there are stages that a child has to go through. Chazal say when your child is at the stage of breaking dishes, don't go telling him not to break dishes. Buy cheap, broken dishes so he can break them some more. Right. No, fine. Okay.
But if we talk about it.
Okay.
At that time, this is what we said, that most people lived in an agricultural kind of environment. Okay, there were no toys, you didn't go to Toys R Us to get, for kids. So that's how many things they have today. They probably had animals, they had chickens in the backyard. So, and they were much more connected to nature, so that's where they found their toys.
Well, the Chazal tell us they had toys. Chazal discuss a baby carriage. Chazal tell us the children had baby carriages in their time. The Mishnah, the Gemara discussed baby carriages. They did have toys. Chazal said they used to learn to walk with a carriage.
And perhaps also different ideas of ethics and morality that they hold for example, with slaves. The Torah accepted as a given at the time that slavery, since it was a norm, okay, where it's not the ideal situation, but perhaps At least some beings have heard say that. It's a, we contain a situation, put in certain halakhic limits, but then society evolves. And you say for people have sensitivity not to our state. So perhaps in this situation also, they...
Firstly, about slaves, if you look at our class on Mishpatim from 3 or 4 years ago, you'll see a long discussion about the whole concept of slavery and Torah and morality. It's a discussion which we can't have right now, but we did discuss it 3 or 4 years ago. Parshas Mishpatim. You could check it out online. And what you're saying is something which is